Oh, hour number three on a Monday, trying to process it all from the weekend, especially if you are a Longhorn football fan and you're trying to figure out what happened in Stillwater. Chad and Zay with you on this Monday, hour number three. Zay's choice. Technically, all the music is Zay's choice. What do we got here, Zay?
This is Mace, Feel So Good, instrumental, which Diddy stole from. Hey, hey, hey.
Ah.
What you got to say?
Hey, yeah. stolen piece of music, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody's ever.
I'm sure they got the royalties for it, but. You know.
I would hope so. Past a certain point, thankfully, they figured all that stuff out with royalties. Hope you're having a good Monday. Lots of texts have been rolling in today. By the way, someone says, thank you for that info on the Wisconsin volleyball team.
Y'all nasty. Everybody says, Zay, where's the link?
Reddit is all I have to say, yes. So the Wisconsin volleyball team getting their 15 minutes of fame for reasons they weren't planning on. We hit that in Where Are We At in Society. We've also talked about the Longhorns plenty today. Now, on the positive side, if you're a Cowboys fan, you got that win. And by the way, Zay, I have not given congratulations to someone I need to give congratulations to today. Because in the grand scheme, and this will be the opposite of what we talk about with Texas, the Dallas Cowboys attempted 25 passes yesterday against the Lions.
Well done.
Hang on. I'm not there yet.
Look at Kellen Moore growing.
And they attempted 32 carries.
Look at that.
Kellen Moore, when I'm wrong, hey, I'm like baby's dad and at the end of Dirty Dancing. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I didn't trust you to do it. In fact, on my underdog fantasy over the weekend, I said higher for Dak Prescott, and I think it was like 33.5 attempts. I thought, oh, he'll let him throw it 34 times. Guaranteed he'll let him throw it 34. Kellen Moore, I've never been more glad to be out of the money than I was. Thank you. Thank you for calling the game you're supposed to call. Also, Zay, thank you to that Cowboys defense. The interception by Diggs was huge. The fumble. Everybody realize that dude's never fumbled, ever?
Jamal Williams?
Ever. That was his first fumble, period, as an NFL player.
Yeah, if I'm Dan Campbell, I don't challenge it either then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was incredible. So
I swore he looked in. When they showed that different, that like view from the pylon.
You thought the tight end got in
I
on the corner.
I thought he got in. Everybody's saying he did it. It looked in to me.
I thought later they had a still shot that had him just short. What I would have done there if I'm Dan Campbell is just not rush that moment. I just didn't know why that needed to be so rushed to get up to the line and everything. You could challenge it if you want, but I didn't know why it had to be such a rushed play. But then again, he's handing it to a guy who'd never fumbled. Cowboys create that. They win it 24-6, and they are now 5-2. I said it last week. I'm going to be super proud of this team if they figure out these next two wins because they're games that you could easily overlook. Bears next week on a noon kick. So the Cowboys is a positive. If you're an Astros fan, massive positive because you just took the Yankees out. All of us Yankee haters can certainly appreciate that. Astros, Phillies get started on Friday. If you're into Austin FC, they finally figured out a way to beat Dallas. That's big time. But if you are on either side of the house divided right now, you are not having a good Monday. If you're on my side of it, in maroon and white land, yeah, that Jimbo offense is bizarre. And they go to South Carolina and they lose for the first time ever, Zay. Did I mention that yet? Did I mention the Aggies had beaten South Carolina 8 times in a row since joining the SEC? And South Carolina just beat them for the very first time? Yeah, that happened. But obviously around these parts, there's also the question of what happened to Texas in Stillwater. Somebody texted us earlier, Quinn passes, intercepted, say goodnight to it. Okay, that's rude.
That's cold blood.
That's rude. There's no reason to do that.
It probably did in Craig's voice, too.
No reason to use Craig's call against him. There's no reason for that. But the Longhorns did lose 41-34. It was such a crazy game. Once again, Zay, we saw a 14-point lead for Texas. And there's this stat about double-digit leads. There's the thing where now they've been up 31-17 on the road twice. And obviously blown those leads. What I don't know if it's a – do they need to dig into the psychology of it all? Because I'll admit, both times, when they go up 31-17, I let down watching the game. The one in Lubbock, I thought, okay, all right, now they're going.
Oh, I went on Twitter and said we should put up 60 on these boys when they went up 31.
Right?
60 on these boys.
Because it just felt like more than two scores. And I think maybe the only thing I can compare it to, since I'm not a Longhorn myself, is being a Cowboys fan. Because I'll admit, a Cowboys 10-point lead always feels bigger than it actually is. A 14-point lead, it always feels bigger. Always does. And by the way, yesterday, huge exhale in my house when it was 17-6, finally. Oh, my God. Two scores? That was big. But for the Longhorns, now that they've given those up, they do not get the complimentary football that Sark talks about. And it's a weird double-edged sword to me, Zay, with this defense. A, I don't think you can absolutely trust them. But B, they're defending 98 plays a game.
Yeah, 98 plays is way too many. And the defense was solid in the beginning of the third quarter.
Yeah.
They were forcing punts. They were doing three and outs. It seemed like Spencer Sanders was a little rattled. But then we talk about the adjustments being made. And Mike Gundy, he did that. Like, we talked about his running back, Dominic Richardson, all weekend.
Yeah.
We didn't even say Jaden Nixon, number 23, or Olive Gordon. You know, Jaden Nixon came in and had that big-time run.
Nixon's run was big, yeah.
And then Spencer Sanders, once he started utilizing his legs, we know that for Texas, dual-threat quarterbacks, it's been a problem, and it's going to continue to be a problem, man. It's not going to get any easier. I don't know how Adrian Martinez, how healthy he's going to be since he went out against that TCU game, but you're going to have to play against Max Duggan coming up soon. So you're going to see more dual-threat guys, and Spencer Sanders, who wasn't even 100% himself, him accounting for those 43 yards, just timely plays by him from the Anthony Cook, you know, the unnecessary roughness call, and just that one third down where they went for the screen and everybody went towards the screen. See, Sarkisian talked about it in his press conference today, and then Sark said they had a spy on them, but the spy went to the damn screen. And it's just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like
the spy outthought himself or something.
Yeah. It's just like you look at the penalties, and I get it. It's still sketchy to me that zero penalties for Oklahoma State. Come on. You could call holding on damn near every play.
Yeah.
So, but they're still more disciplined than Texas was, and that's the coaching part. That's the out-coaching that Mike Gundy did to Steve Sarkisian. Where do you want to say if Quinn Ewers should have been benched for Hudson Card or the adjustments being made, Steve Sarkisian got out-coached. He did.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when you look at the defensive side and the penalties and stuff, because I agreed with what Joe Cook said earlier from Inside Texas on 3.com, comes along with us at 1, that he's not going to bag on the Texas side of it because he thought they were sloppy. And I would agree with that. It didn't feel like a job like the one here in Austin and maybe some others people would want to bring up. So could you and should they have called a penalty or two on Oklahoma State? Sure. But that I wouldn't let that skew the way I look at the game if I'm a Texas fan, because my team was sloppy. They did jump off sides. Most things I saw were clear. Like the Jade Barron thing where Jade Barron was flipping out and was really looking like he was mad on the sideline. I'm like, dude, that's a foul. I'm sorry. You grabbed his jersey and redirected him and threw him over the pylon.
He had a tough one. Jade Barron had a really tough game. I think he was penalized 3 times. And
you got to throw that flag, right?
Yeah, and when Ryan Watts gets hurt, when Anthony Cook breaks his arm, which – for him to have a broken arm, that's brutal. Hopefully, Sark did say, which is true, there's some injuries where we've seen guys play with broken arms and stuff. We'll see how it goes from week to week. They say he's day to day, but he's one of the few that's really willing to stick his nose in there and hit somebody. We saw the play that he made last week against Iowa State, basically the play of the game against Hunter Deckers.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's out. Jaron Thompson was exhausted at the end of the game. You saw it on that last play, him and DeSean Jameson just winded when Green had
when
that touchdown, basically
yep.
walked in. They basically bumped his ass. Nobody really wanted to tackle, but like we've been saying, 98 plays
on
the field.
Play 98.
Like, play 98. Like, yeah, I'm going to be a little winded too. So it's just weird. You know, Rojo, he had a drop. You know, the JT Sanders drop at the end of the game that led to Quinn's third interception. You know, that goes to the sloppiness. Hell, the Jake Majors, two back-to-back bad snaps. Like, back-to-back? One right after the other.
Those were both
that
bad.
Is just that just shows the lack of being locked in that this whole team threw out there in Stillwater this past Saturday.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's an insane place to play. The TV TV broadcast did a good job of showing how tight it was.
You heard
us talk about it going into the game, how tight, how close everything is, and it just felt like it built up, and the Longhorns could not get themselves out of it. So they defend 98 plays, and on offense, again, you want to talk about complimentary football. If you have a defense, whether you can or can't trust them, a running game can always help you out, and it can certainly help you out on the road. 3 of 17 on third down. I think if he could go back and do it again, Zay, hopefully Sark would tell us that even when it's second and a little bit, you need to trust that run game. You need to keep coming with that run game. Different types of runs, different kinds of runs, but don't be afraid on second and 8, second and 9, second and 10 to run the ball, because there were so many third and longs, I thought, because they gave up on it with second and long. You have a quarterback that's not throwing well, and then you end up in a third and long. I just retweeted this one. Max Olson tweets this out earlier today. Quinn Ewers, one of only three quarterbacks, say, since 2000 to attempt 49 or more passes in a game and complete less than 20. That is per College Football Reference. And like we said earlier, you got to take – he again, 30 incompletions, so you've got to take some of those to me, and you got to make them runs. And this is something that Sark is going to have to break the biggest tendency he's got, which is he was a quarterback who threw a ton, and he likes scheming up quarterbacks throwing a ton.
Throw
it a ton and throw deep. So when your quarterback can't throw deep, you probably need to do adjust to shorter routes. He did not do that. And you certainly should be adjusting to the strength of your offense, the best room of your offense, and I'll keep saying it, the DNA of the school you've chosen to coach. Those two statues are of running backs. This place is about Rickies and Earls and Priests and Jamals and Deontays. That's what Texas football is. Run the ball.
Yeah, that goes back to, you know, what we've been talking about. Like, does he have so much responsibility that it just some things just get away from him throughout the course of the game, like where he just doesn't have a certain feel? And then that goes to Jeff Banks or Tashard Choice, you know, Kyle Flood, A.J. Milwee. What are y'all telling him? And what is Sark willing to take? Because you got to trust your assistant coaches. If they're saying stuff and it's the right thing, if the right adjustments, and you're not putting that out there, if you're not bringing that to, you know, to the game yourself, or you're not listening to those guys, then what's the point?
Yeah.
It goes back to the Savion Red blowing up, which that's still weird to me. That's still a red flag.
We still don't know exactly what that
was.
Yeah,
it's still a red flag to me. Yeah, do that behind the scenes. Yeah, I get it happens. Practice, I get it happens.
By the way,
when you're in the heat of the game, and it's close like it is, and for somebody who's Savion Red's not really big time. I get he's young, but I don't really think he has a say to be this upset.
No. They weren't getting whipped at that moment, right?
No, but like he doesn't have the skins on the wall to really be saying stuff like that. Like the fact that somebody like him, this ain't X-worthy, this ain't Jordan Whittington, who only had one reception for 23 yards, which is bonkers to me. That's a joke. If he's having that, then we're probably not going to win.
The only guy I saw in the area with him was Kane, right? Casey Kane was kind of trying to keep him away.
You saw Quinn Ewers kind of like, hey, chill out, but not really. You know, it was a weird situation, but it's just like, man, what else is really going on? You saw the disconnect. Like, even the last drive, Tyreek Milton and Jordan Whittington, they both went out for a route in one of Quinn's many incompletions. They looked at each other like, what the hell was that? Like, were you right? Was I right? What was, you know what I'm saying? And there was so many of those moments throughout the game where it was just a disconnect from the wide receivers / tight ends and Quinn, and the coaching staff just couldn't bring that together. And I get it. Throw in Hudson Card. Yeah, that might have been a possibility, but he didn't do that. He, in a way, thought he trusted Quinn Ewers to get the job done, and it didn't happen.
If deep down Sark would tell me that putting Hudson Card in would have made him a little more conservative as a play caller, and he would have handed the game to Bijan, I'd have said put Hudson Card in.
For sure.
Whoever you want to put in at quarterback, just for a little bit. To me, you maybe needed the Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, Spencer Rattler plan. When he took Spencer out and then put him back in later. Dude, just breathe. Watch the game for a while. I thought that's maybe what it needed. Watch the game for a little bit. I'm going to have number one hand off to number five. You take a drink and watch. And we're going to see what happens here. We're going to hand a five. We're going to hand a two. We're going to hand a seven. We're going to see for a drive or two. And then we'll put you back in and get your rhythm back.
Yeah, and everybody goes to the 03 Texas Tech game where Mac benched Vince for a little bit, and they came back and they still won that game. But you got to think about the players overall on that team, the mentally tough players on that. Cedric Benson, Derek Johnson, Michael Huff. Like,
those guys were going to go on to win
guys,
it all.
Yeah, those guys are a different breed. And I'm, you know, this team, they still aren't there yet. They still aren't at that point to where Sark trusts that. To where he could say, okay, I can make this move and it doesn't affect not only the quarterback but the rest of the team. Remember, you're not only when the quarterback gets assigned that starting spot, you're winning over the locker room too. Steve Sarkisian, when they asked him today, hey, do you think that would have messed up Quinn's psyche? He said possibly, but it's not just for Quinn. That could have messed up the whole team's psyche of putting in Hudson Card. And I get it. You don't want that. I wish they were mentally tough, too, where you don't have to think of those things. But we just talked about with the Wisconsin volleyball girls, we're in a new era of kids. We're in a new era of these athletes. They're different. They're raised different. They're, you know, you can't be in a coach. I'm not going to yell at Joe the same way I yell at Mitch, because maybe Mitch works different to that yelling. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's so many ways to look at it.
But you just pointed out, this was not exactly a mentally stable football team throughout that game. There were weird moments, 14 penalties, the stuff on the sideline, all these things. What could it have hurt? What could it have hurt to try it? And it could have been anything. It could have been Hudson Card taking snaps. It could have been the Wildcat. It could have been shorter routes. Just those slants and shallow crosses and stop taking 20, 25-yard shots
jet
down
sweeps.
The field.
Xavier Worthy.
There you go.
Jay Witt. Get the ball in their hands.
Instead of making
Keelan Robinson.
I swear, Xavier Worthy felt like he ran 5 miles during that game on those long, drawn-out routes, shorten the routes up. It could have been a lot of things. Direct snaps to Keelan Robinson. Whatever. There's a lot of things you could have tried, and they didn't. So that's the thing.
Hardball this past weekend for the Ravens. Did you see that play where they did the toss sweep to Lamar Jackson? Mark Andrews. They went under snap, like you know how they've been doing tight ends in motion, and then the tight end takes a direct snap for the QB sneak?
Yes.
That's been very popular
lately.
Yeah. They went into that. Everybody got in thinking that was going to happen. Mark Andrews snaps it. Toss sweep to Lamar Jackson.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wait, was this goal line?
No, it was just to
middle of the field?
Yeah, well, I don't remember exactly where they were, but it was just to get a first down.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked. Yeah, it worked. It didn't go for 50 yards, but it worked. It got you the first down.
Dude, I love stuff like that.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? It's just like...
And by the way, back to this comparison, and people, you know, again, around these parts, where some people are Longhorns, some people are Aggies, they're both frustrated with their offenses and what's going on right now. But remember, the problem with Sark and the problem with Jimbo are two different problems. Jimbo's problem is his offense feels too old and clunky and broken down. That's not Sark. Sark is supposed to be, he's got that new age mindset. He's got that forward thinking mindset. So, but the problem with him is, for Jimbo, he's not being cute enough. And for Sark, sometimes he's just being too cute. Just too much cuteness. Got to bring it back down and run the ball. I guarantee you when Jimbo watches Sark call plays, he just thinks, run the ball. Just like when Sark watches Jimbo, he thinks, okay, man, you got to come up with some ideas. You got no ideas right now.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Nico Corners on Twitter for this stat. Texas has more touchdowns in the second half, in the second quarter of games this year than they do in the third and fourth quarters combined.
It's money-making time, man. They got to be better there. Sark knows it. 31-17, blow the lead at Tech. 31-17, blow the lead here. You cannot always lead 28-0. It was cool that you did that against West Virginia. It was cool you did it against your biggest rival. You cannot have 28-0 every game. You just can't. So you got to figure out. I mean, it should be an easy problem to figure out. Hey, you're up 31-17. Can we go figure out how to win this game? That should be fairly easy to do.
I hope it doesn't become psychological. I hope, because it's clear. It's clear that there's an issue with just the lack of adjustments in the second half and these blowing these leads. And
so it's six. Yeah. It's six out of the 20. Do I have that number right?
Yes.
Six out of the 20 games that they've blown a double-digit lead.
Yep. He's 50%, 10 of 10.
Right. So six.
20 games, 110 lost him.
Right. Six of the 20 games. So in 30% of the games he's coached at Texas, they have dropped a double-digit lead and lost the game. All right, so we'll continue to watch those numbers. We'll continue to talk Longhorns as they get ready, go through the off week here. And then, of course, it's at K-State coming up on the 5th. All right, coming up, why today matters. I know why it matters to a former Westlake star who's now going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. We'll get you that story if you missed it. Plus, we got some other things. And a birthday that will make me admit... All right, one of my bromances has a birthday today. I will let you know who it is. I'll admit to a man crush as long as the rest of you will admit to them as well. That's coming up on the Horn.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. Take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop. Go ahead, girl, don't you stop. Keep going until you hit the spot.
Oh,
all I can think about is the last scene of The Hangover at the wedding. That's all I can think about. When the band is singing this song, but I don't know who the original is. Should I know this?
Yeah, listen. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like he's an icon. He's kind of like Snoop Dogg, where you wouldn't put him on the Mount Rushmore or anything. You wouldn't necessarily consider him one of the best rappers of all time, but he had a hell of a run.
50 Cent?
There we go.
All right. There we go. There it is. Yeah, all I can see is the dude at the wedding. That's all I can see.
Get to the candy shop. I like to lick the lollipop.
The old people at the wedding are looking around like, who is this band? What are we doing here?
Yo, that dude, whatever movie he's in, from Hangover to Old School, yeah. I feel like he's been in something else too.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. And I don't know if I'm going to be present. I'm not sure if it's that kind of movie, but I can't wait till my kid is... She's 16 now. She could probably see Hangover, right?
Yeah, she's
Hangover. Yeah, she'd be good, yeah. At one point, I'm going to definitely show her that one, and maybe I'll leave the room so she can just watch it with a parent there, but yeah, she's got to see that at some point. 50 Cent, Joe Jackson, Jackson Brown, Accept, and Meredith Brooks have all been on the show today, and we are trying to dig through all of the things going on with Texas and losing that game in Stillwater. The numbers for Sark continue not to be good. Not only 10-10 overall, but 3-8 in one score games. And to me, the worst one is that road game. True road games. 1-6 at Texas. You can't be bad in that stat anywhere, but I'll argue you really can't be that bad at a place like Texas when you don't play your biggest rival ever on the road. Ever. You're never going to do it unless they change the way they do business with that game. That's why that number's got to be better, Zay. They never play Oklahoma and Norman.
Yeah, not only did you go 10-10 after this weekend, Steve Sarkisian, you also didn't stand for the eyes of Texas.
Oh, here we go.
Absolutely brutal.
Here we go. Did this take some time out of your weekend, Zay? Were you worried about this one? I tell you what. Let's go Why Today Matters. Let's go Why Today Matters, and we'll start right there.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
If you missed it today, Steve Sarkisian started his press conference with an apology, and it was that he did not sing the eyes of Texas. He and some players and coaches just left the field. He said he did not do anything intentionally. It's just, you know, the moment was there, and you're in Stillwater, and you were mad, and he just left the field. He says that that won't happen again. Zay, as a Texas fan, do you accept his apology?
Yeah, I accept it. I accept it, but I mean, if you want to nitpick, it goes back to the discipline part. It goes back to not being as locked in as you should, and it showcasing on the field and stuff like that. That you I don't care who, how you feel about it. You can't, you got to stand for that.
So you think it's a detail thing?
Yeah, okay. I do think it's a detail thing. You saw how apologetic he was today. You saw him say it'll never happen again.
All right. I hate to be the one to bring up a logical solution, but I think I got the solution. Just start singing The Eyes of Texas in the second quarter.
Oh, come on.
I mean, then, because, right, that's when the rhythm's happening. He'll be fine.
He'll be
then.
Feeling good.
Yeah, right? He'll be good. He'll be good then. That's what they need to do. That was the way that the presser started today with that apology. So yeah, that's one of those things. Hopefully that story does not come back. When I saw somebody video or take a picture and say, "Oh, the coaches didn't." Yeah,
that picture does look bad.
It does look bad. It does look bad, I guess. And I've never been one of those fans that cares that much about that stuff, which is weird for me to say. Because I'm
that
an Aggie.
That is weird.
I'm an Aggie, part of the cult.
The crap y'all be doing.
Yeah, but if you tell me, Chad, did you notice that the coaches and players didn't do the war hymn after the game? I would say the same three words every time. I don't care. And I would just walk away. But a lot of fans do. So Steve Sarkisian does need to get that part buttoned up. But the most important things he needs to get buttoned up right now, Zay, are the third and fourth quarters. Because that's where the money is made. And that is where he is not currently making the money.
Yeah, and this bye week couldn't come soon enough. I mean, with all the injuries that you have on both sides, you got to clean a lot of the stuff up, and hopefully these guys can get healthy, and you can head into these last four games with something to be proud of and kind of make your own destiny, because you still have a slight chance of getting to Arlington. You can't lose any games.
Yeah,
can't lose any, but you have a slight chance of making it, and you could play some good football and kind of shock a lot of people with these next four games.
Dude, did you watch those two teams in purple play? Did you watch any of that game?
It was a dogfight.
Did you think either one of those teams wasn't going to beat Texas while you were watching that game? Because I watched that game and thought, oh my God, if Texas plays the wrong game, they lose to both of those teams.
For sure.
Because both of those teams are going to fundamental Texas to death if they let them. They're going to be fundamentally sound and physical and nasty and, you know, line of scrimmage football and everything. Texas better find some nasty before they play those purple teams.
That's what I'm saying. You see Sonny Dykes, TCU coach. You see the both huge comeback wins he's had in recent weeks against top-tier teams in the Big 12. And you look at our side, and we can't have anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this guy, 1 year in, getting the big shot coming from SMU. And, yes, I know he has a very experienced ball club, but it looks like everything's clicking. It looks like he has everybody's attention down there at Fort Worth. And, yeah, talk about writing their own destiny. They have a clear path to Arlington for the Big 12 showdown, yep. Big 12 championship, I mean.
No doubt. Yeah, we'll watch football this week and see how it goes with Texas in the off week. They, of course, go to Manhattan when they get back to it next week. Also, as long as we're talking about Longhorn-related things, congrats again to Sam Ellinger. He's going to be the starter in Indianapolis. They play Washington this week, so us Cowboy fans will definitely be rooting for you.
Let's
there, Sam.
Go, Sam, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm interested to see how he looks, Zay, because he's one of those guys that has continued to progress. Every time I get to see him throw a little bit, I feel like something's been added. I feel like something's been learned. And he reminds me, as far as work ethic, I'd put him in that Jalen Hurts category, where I'm not exactly sure if you're going to be a stud NFL quarterback, but I bet you work your ass off. I bet you beat people to the office. I bet when they leave the office, the light's on. And who is that? Oh, that's Sam. Sam's still grinding. Sam's still trying to figure some stuff out. So I'm really interested in seeing him in this first start. Can he hit NFL windows? Can he make NFL? We know he can be physical and nasty, and he's a great leader and everything. If Sam Ellinger can hit some NFL windows, look out, AFC South.
Yeah, the NFL, especially at the quarterback position, it's not just about how much talent you have, but it's about what's around you. Are your coaching staff putting you in the best situation to be successful? And we've seen a lot of guys that might have the talent and might have the work ethic, but still might not pan out. And, you know, we know we can't say that about Sam with his work ethic. We can't say Sam, he's definitely not like a Jamarcus Russell. That's for damn sure.
Nope.
He knows that he's definitely going to be in the film room, like you said, first one to the facilities. And, you know, he's a guy that your teammates root for because you know how much he's going to give when you see him lowering his head for extra yardage, which that's, he's going to do that.
Yes, he will.
You know, Sam, the instincts is just going to come into play. And we saw what he was here at the 40 Acres. We saw what he was at Westlake High. So he's going to lower his head. Them instincts are going to come to play. And people are like, oh, Sam, you should slide. He'll probably have to learn those things. He's going to still have to learn the NFL game. Once film's on him, it's going to be a lot more difficult for him. But you know he's going to embrace the opportunity. He's going to embrace the challenge, and you just got to hope that this coaching staff could put enough around him for him to be successful in the league.
Also, how about this, Zay? The fact that they asked Frank Reich about it today, they asked him, hey, is this something for a game? And what do you have? He could have said anything. He could have said, hey, we're going to go 1 week at a time here. His answer was, quote, right now the move is for Sam to be the starter for the rest of the season, end quote. Wow.
Big time locker room guy.
Because
that's what that tells me.
We're like 8 weeks in. This isn't week 12, week 13, week 14. He doesn't just have two or three games left. He's saying that basically midway through the season, and he's got a guy who won the Super Bowl backing Sam up.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, right now the plan's for Sam to go the rest of the year. It's like, wow, okay.
And you got guys with mad skin on the wall on that team. Stephon Gilmore, he's been there and done that, played in the league at the highest level of cornerback. Mm-hmm. Quentin Nelson, their guard, he's one of the best in the league
for
a long time.
Taylor.
So if you can win those guys over, Jonathan Taylor, I know this is the second year, but he's one of those guys. If you can win guys like that over, which that if you're starting the guy for the rest of the season, that shows me you do. That means guys are in this locker room, whatever Sam's been on scout team or whatever second string, he's always been engaged. He's clearly had great practices. It's just, you know, they brought in Matt Ryan. You think that, okay, Matt Ryan, he has records in the NFL. He's taken his team to the Super Bowl.
Should have won it.
He has an MVP trophy at his crib. Like, he's proven. But what are you doing now, Matty? NFL, what are you doing now? I don't give a damn about what you did in the ACL. What are you doing for me now? It clearly ain't good enough. Bam Bam Sam getting the start. Well deserved.
Well, let's peek ahead on the old Colts schedule before we hit this break, Zay. I tell you what.
Why are you saying that? It can't be good.
Hold on. No. It's not. It's just really intriguing. In fact, we'll save it for Stems and Seeds. Let's peek ahead to that Colts schedule. It is hosting Washington. Couple of roadies after that and a really interesting game coming up in December. We'll tell you where Sam's going to be coming up on the Horn.
Okay. Hello, motherfucker. Hey, how you doing? It's Visa F, baby. Come to take a urine on the toilet bowl. Stomping on his beat like a motherfucker.
That's a lot of editing required in the first three lines, eh? I'd like to get into the rhythm of this tune, but I'm not quite getting it because we had to edit so much to keep our jobs. Who we got here?
Right here, this is Lil Wayne.
Okay.
The song is for Drake, though, called I'm Going In. This is when Drake first came out.
Okay, early Drake.
Early Drake, circa 09, 2010 era.
By the way, I didn't mention it. It is Drake's birthday today.
36. What?
Yes, 36 years old for Drake. And my man crush that I did not mention is Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds was 46 yesterday, and he's one of my man crush guys. I'll watch anything with Ryan Reynolds. Well, to a point. I didn't watch the Pikachu movie. But, yeah, I like Ryan Reynolds. That's one of those guys for me.
So you love Deadpool?
I do love Deadpool. Yeah, because I'm into superhero movies and I'm into unnecessarily filthy language.
Okay.
So when you combine the two, I'm in.
My favorite Ryan Reynolds movie, and this is the one I watch with my wife all the time, Just Friends. That is classic Ryan Reynolds.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, he used to be fat, and then he loses a lot of weight, and he goes back home, and he's like this big... I don't know if he's a manager. He's a manager for Anna Faris, and she's supposed to be this big-time celebrity, and she's insane, and it's a hilarious movie.
Okay, I got to check that one out. Yeah, no, I'll check anything. Within reason, I'll check anything out with Ryan Reynolds, although I'll admit the Free Guy movie didn't look good to me and the Pikachu movie. Once he got to those two, I was kind of out.
What about him and that, what's that one show that they got now? It looks like bootleg Ted Lasso. Him and old boy from Sunny in Philadelphia. They have an FX show.
Where, the soccer thing?
Yeah, the soccer thing. See, what is that?
I thought that one was legit. That's like a documentary.
Oh, that's for real?
I think. To me, that's what it looked like.
It's not a scripted show.
No, it looked like a documentary about he and a guy actually did become part owners of a team.
Weird.
That's at least my interpretation of it.
Okay.
I may be wrong there. All right. A lot of football reaction today. We'll continue to clean it up on a Tuesday. It's going to take probably all the way through tomorrow at least to get cleaned up on everything from the weekend. A lot of craziness in the NFL. Again, congrats to Sam Ellinger. He's going to start in Indianapolis. Let's get you stems and seeds and tell you what's coming up on Sam's schedule.
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Colts right now are sitting at, where are they? 3-3-1 as they go into this game against Washington. Then at the Patriots, at the Raiders, home to the Eagles. That's interesting. They play the Steelers at home, so they host both teams out of Pennsylvania. Then, December 4th, Sunday Night Football at the Cowboys.
Ooh!
You think there might be a Westlake folk or two in that building that night? At the Vikings, Chargers at home, at the Giants, and he'll finish hosting the Texans to finish out the regular season. Best of luck to Sam Ellinger in all those games but one. Sam, if you could just maybe, you know what, Sam, maybe just take the Cowboy game off. But if you could beat the Giants and the Eagles, we'd be really happy.
Hell no, Sam. Come light them boys up.
And the Commanders. How dare you? There's no need for that.
Quinn, you ain't ready. You better start preparing now.
There's no need for all
better
that.
Better start preparing now.
Congrats to Sam Ellinger there. Congrats to Geno Smith and the Seahawks. My God. They are 4-3, and Geno's completing 74% of his passes. Maybe a team to pay attention to a little bit in the NFC. They play the Giants this week. Giants are 6-1.
Yo, Geno Smith, I know his career started out slow, but this goes to show if you're in the right system and if you put a quarterback in the right situation, they could be successful.
Man, oh, man. All right, check out hornfm.com if you missed anything. A lot of breakdowns being posted there. Up next, it's Rod and Harge breaking down Texas, losing in Stillwater. Soccer Matters coming up at 7. You know there'll be some Austin FC talk there. And at 8 o'clock, it's Insincerious. Check out our Monday night lineup if you haven't, or if you just want to check it out today. Monday Night Football tonight as well with the Bears and Patriots. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. Have yourself a good Monday.